This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
So it seems as though we have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, the clip of the day, it's not like a controversial clip or anything like that, but it's Terrence Shannon Jr. You remember him with Timberwolves. From the Nuggets Timberwolves series, the guy had a monster dunk on pretty much every Nugget that ever existed. He was speaking after the game last night. Victor Wembanyama. We talked about his offensive issues last night. He was 0-for-8 from the 3-point line, 5-of-17, but he blocked 12 shots last night. That would deter a lot of people. I'm thinking about Christian Brown here. Here is Terrence Shannon Jr. On Wimby's prowess, his defensive prowess, and how to approach him going forward. Here's what Terrence had to say.
It's different with Wimby there. What is that like? You still attacking, you're still going at him, but you got one of the great shot blockers back there.
He gonna have to block it every time. I ain't gonna stop going downhill. And I told him that when he said a little something after he blocked my second one, but he gonna have to block every time, and I know he ain't gonna block it every single time. I'm gonna dunk on him. So there we go.
The reason I pulled that one out, Mike, because, you know, I'm reading this story about Christian Brown, and he had an injury earlier in the year, and then he maybe had an undisclosed injury going on throughout the playoffs. I don't know, I watched him close enough, and I see him pulling out of the paint when there was any kind of sense that Rudy Gobert was nearby. And then I watched this clip, and I watched that game. And I see a difference, you know, a major difference in a mentality. And Terrence plays like that. Like, he's like, I might have got a shot blocked, but he's going to have to block it every time. Like, you're just going to literally have to never let me get in there because I'm going to keep going. A guy who's getting a lot more playing time because of the injuries. Dosumo's out. You know, DiVincenzo's out. He's getting more minutes. He had 35 minutes last night. He played 16. He had 16 points, 5 rebounds and assists, 5-13, 0-1 for the 3-point line. Whatever. Got to the free throw line 8 times. So, Michael, I hear a guy like that talk who Terrence Shannon Jr. is not a big name. You know, he doesn't have. He was a pick number 27 in round 1 in 2024. Christian Brown just signed a really big contract. And you're expecting, now I know he's saying all the right things. Christian Brown is. Say we got to be better. And, you know, I need to be a leader. I'm a leader of this team, which also kind of concerns me. But this is the kind of mentality that you want to have from some of your guys on this roster. I mean, who is Terrence Shannon Jr.? He hasn't signed a long-term contract yet. He's got a team option on his deal in 26 and 27 and another team option in 27 and 28 for $2 million. Then it goes up to $5 million in the 27-28 season. It's a guy that's playing with just absolute hunger every time he's out there. And that was kind of Christian Brown. The dude played with that kind of fire. He was one of the best transition players, one of the transition guards in the game. And I get it. He had the injury. He told the Denver Post, it's unacceptable. Especially with the talent we have on this roster. I think We come here every single year. We talk about championships. That's our mindset and our goal. And obviously, we fell short. A first-round exit's not acceptable. We've got to bounce back. We've got to get to work. You can kind of put it on my shoulders. I think this team was resilient. I think this team wasn't resilient enough in the playoffs. And he was asked specifically if that lack of resilience was a reflection on him. And he said, I just think I'm the leader of this team. Christian Brown said, I just think I'm the leader of this team. I'm the vocal leader of this team. And we don't play well as a whole. You can blame whatever you want. You can blame anything. But I didn't play well enough as an individual, and I didn't have this team ready enough to play in a tough series. So we'll be better. I'll be better. I'm looking forward to next year when we can respond. Does anybody hear the problem with that? Christian Brown, Michael, this is not a quiz. Who's the leader of this team? Joker?
Who's
the vocal leader of this team? If my answer is Christian Brown today, we're doing it wrong. Gordon is vocal in ways of lifting guys up. Jamal is kind of the same. They don't have a nasty guy that can say, he can block shots all he wants. I'm going to him. That's leadership. I mean, Terrence Shannon Jr. is not a leader for the Timberwolves. But that is something that someone can follow. Like that right there. Hey, he might block shots, but he's going to have to block every single one of them. I didn't hear any leadership things coming. I mean, I know some people said, well, Christian Brown's talking to the media after every single game. It's on us, and we got to take. Okay, we're saying all the right things, but we're not at the same time. I'm not saying I need a Jaden McDaniels going down the roster telling the world that this guy's a bad defender, that guy's a bad defender, that guy's a bad defender. I'm not saying I need that. But if I'm hearing that Christian Brown thinks he's the leader of this team, I'm not so sure I agree. But then again, who is the vocal leader of this team? That is a problem. I mean, with the Timberwolves, it's not like Captain America leadership coming from Ant-Man, but it's leadership. And they adopted his confidence and his attitude. You don't think Rudy Gobert has morphed his game a little bit because he sees the type of player Anthony Edwards is? You don't think Jaden McDaniels is a little extra confident because he knows that, hey, that dude back. Anthony Edwards told the media last night Jaden McDaniels is his favorite player in the league. You don't think that guy plays with a little extra fire because he's got that guy's backing? It's nice to hear Joker say all the right things most of the time. It's nice to hear David Adelman say all the right things most of the time. But once in a while, I gave Anthony Edwards crap for saying the rivalry between me and the Nuggets. I was wrong, wasn't I? I said, oh yeah, that's gonna motivate the troops. It did. He does. Terrence Shannon Jr. seems to be taking that as motivation. Jaden McDaniels is becoming a name in these playoffs. And Anthony Edwards, he's also going off of what his coach is saying. Chris Finch, hard coaching, calling him out. He called him out after game one. He called them out and said, you lied to me. You guys told me that once the playoffs started, you would flip a switch. And you lied to me. So we got on their ass. That's what Chris Finch said. Instead, on the other side, you have David Adelman taking offense to somebody saying, why haven't you been that competitive in this series? You got one coach saying, they lied to us. They didn't flip a switch. So I got on him. That's why you see Terrence Shannon Jr. come up and say, he can't block every shot. Because there is an attitude reflect leadership, captain, kind of thing from Remember the Titans, Michael. Remember? That's what you're seeing with Minnesota. So if you want to go the David Adelman route, which is apparently what they're still going to do, you got to go over the top somewhere. I love a lot of these Nuggets players, man. There's a lot of good guys, good players, guys you care about, guys you don't want to see go. Not a lot of people want to see Jamal Murray go. They want to believe that Christian Brown can recover. Love Aaron Gordon. And everything they... Listen, when you're winning championships, it's all good, right? If you're positive Pete's the whole time through and you get a question to Aaron Gordon, it's like, why are you so selfless out there? Because I learned it from that man over there. And he points to Joker. It's all inspirational when you're winning. When you start to lose and you want to call people out, they don't have that ability to flip the switch. Joker's as close as they come. Joker was asked about it at the end of the game, Michael, after game six, and said, I think if we were in Serbia, we'd all be fired. He's used that line a couple of times. That is a nice way of saying, you'd all be fired. Because nobody, I don't care if it's Serbia, I don't care if it's Canada, I don't care if it's America, Greece, whatever. Nobody's firing Nikola Jokic. That was his nice way of saying, you'd be fired. But it's his nice way. There's no calling out. There's no dog mentality when things get tough. You think the Timberwolves liked that they were getting their shots blocked 12 times last night? A historic performance by Wemby? No. Go do something about it. Say something and then do something. And fortunately or unfortunately, the Timberwolves do both. Eastside Chris. Actually, Brady, I'm not sure they had a vocal leader this year. I didn't see it on the... I mean, did you guys see Christian Brown lifting dudes up and calling guys out when they needed called out? He hasn't earned that. You can't be a vocal leader. Like, I'm saying, you can't just throw the word vocal... You can't throw the term vocal leader out there loosely. If you're a vocal leader, that means you lead in the good times and the bad. You lift them up and you call them out when you need to. Has Christian Brown earned that role to be able to call a guy out? I don't think so. I'll tell you, if you heard Aaron Gordon talk negatively about somebody on that roster, we'd all listen. And they'd probably listen too. But no, I don't know that there is a real vocal leader on this team. I don't know that there is a real dog-like presence on this team. And I'm not talking about like Tanner when he said Joker doesn't have that dog in him. You know what I mean? There's a difference. Like Nathan McKinnon is not a vocal leader, but he has that dog in him. So does Joker. So they need other guys to do that. That's why they didn't put a C on anybody else's sweater when Gabriel Landeskog was out, Mike. They knew that you can't replace that kind of leadership. Leadership is important. And when your best player is not your leader, you've got to find another guy to lead. Joker is a leader in different ways. He can call plays. He can yell at guys and tell them what spots to get in. He can lead on the court through example. But he seems more like the Nathan McKinnon type of guy. Very competitive, very fiery. But I can't teach you. I can't lead you the way I play. I can't teach you that. So I don't know. It struck me last night watching that game and then hearing Terrence Shannon Jr., a guy you didn't know before the Nuggets series started, saying, I'm not scared. I will go at the rim 90 mile an hour every time. He's going to have to foul me or block me, but I'm going. And then in the contrast, you see Christian Brown get the ball in the paint. And I think that was game six. And all he has to do is look up. You saw it, Mike. I showed you that clip. Christian Brown. Look up. Throw the ball up. That's not getting blocked in that moment. But instead, he turned his back on the rim and ran out and scurried.
Yeah, but Brady, there were two guys there, and they could have blocked it with the back of their heads.
They weren't that close. And that's the problem.
Brady, as the vocal leader of KFK, I feel like I must stand up for my guy.
You're not.
No. Mr. Brown here.
You're not.
No, I can't stand up for him. All I hear is like you bad-mouthing Christian Brown, and like I can't disagree with you because everybody's bad-mouthing him.
Why would you disagree with me? Go ahead. Why?
Is there anyone that's going to disagree with you?
On Christian Brown? Maybe. He ain't the leader of this team.
I mean, we've established that it's Jokic, not the vocal leader.
You don't have one. If it's Christian Brown, you don't have one. I know you signed your contract extension and you're getting paid. That doesn't equate to a leader out there. So that's a problem. I'm reading this story in the Denver Post. It's a well-written story. You know, Bennett Durando does a great job of covering this team. But we're saying, hey, he missed 38 games during the regular season. He had the left ankle sprain. Tried to return on January 4th, messed it up again. He was never right. Maybe he wasn't right. It was his first serious injury of his basketball career. He didn't know how to handle it. And maybe that was going on. He had according to the Post, he sustained an injury and developed swelling in his left calf in game one against the Timberwolves, according to two sources. It messed up his ability to explode off the ground, to get in that transition game. Okay. I get that. I'm not saying it's wrong. But you're out there. His job when he's out there is to be explosive, to be a transition player, to play great defense. And listen, if you can't do it, you can't do it. I get that. But where was all this leadership when Jaden McDaniels is dogging you to the entire basketball country? When Jaden McDaniels is saying, we're not worried about them. We just go at them. They can't play defense. And nobody, like, all David Adelman can say was, that's probably good for his clicks. Nobody wants to fire back on that. Cam Johnson fired back at the Chris Finch thing, I thought, at the end of the season, at the end of the series, when Chris Finch said, well, they chose us. And Cam's like, what are you talking about, chose you? We won 12 games in a row. We just won the games that were in front of us. We weren't trying to pick and choose. Yeah, did they sit guys? Maybe. But that was to avoid Minnesota. If that was the case, it was actually to avoid Minnesota. So Cam Johnson kind of fired back, but I want to see some of that, man. You know why I'm rooting for Minnesota? I'm rooting for Minnesota to beat San Antonio, and then I'm rooting for Minnesota to beat probably OKC. I shouldn't. They're like public enemy number 3 right now on my list, but I respect the game. I can't stand Chris Finch. I'll take him as a coach tomorrow. I can't stand Anthony Edwards. I can't, actually. It's not a LeBron thing. I take him as a Denver Nugget tomorrow. Jaden McDaniels, same thing. There are several of those guys that I would say, man, those are dudes you get into the playoffs with. Now, they're not a complete product either. Now, they could very well lose the series to the Spurs in 5. There's still a chance of that. I think Wimby's going to be something else in game 2. Look out. But I still like the mentality. If you could take the Timberwolves mentality and somehow space jam it and put it inside the Nuggets' brains, then there you go. We just got a lot of great dudes on the Nuggets roster. A lot of great dudes. And that's why Russell Westbrook was really appealing to me last year. That's why that idea was appealing. And it just didn't work out. His inconsistencies, his bad, I think, probably outweighed his good. But that's the kind of mentality that you need with just a slightly more consistent player. And that's unfortunately not Westbrook at this stage in his career. He talked about the play. With 20 seconds left in game 2, this was game 2, he was flat-footed in the dunker spot when Joker passed up a floater to dump him the ball underneath the basket. We know about that play. When Joker said, I should have taken that shot. Yeah, he didn't learn the lesson because he was still passing it to Brown inside the paint. Brown averaged in the last four games 5.5 points on 6-for-17 shooting. I mean, shooting's bad when you're hurting your, when you have injuries and stuff. I get it. It's going to affect you. But I just want to know, with seeing Minnesota beating San Antonio, do you look at this roster, both mentality-wise and physically-wise, do you still think that this team could just run it back and actually be a real contender? If Gordon's healthy and Brown's healthy in that series, do they beat Minnesota? If we're playing the if game, I'm Minnesota, I'm firing it right back at you. Okay, Anthony Edwards is 100%, or as close as you get. DiVincenzo is out, is there. And you know, the rest of our crew's there. Then they would probably fire right back and say, if our guys were good to go, you wouldn't have a problem. Now, could Denver have won Game 6 with all those issues at hand for Minnesota if Gordon's out there on the floor and Christian Brown's healthy? Yeah, probably. But again, we're playing the if game. Minnesota's just going to say, yeah, if Ayodele Sumo's out there, DiVincenzo's out there, and Anthony Edwards is out there, then you guys aren't winning. It's probably true. So that's not the question management should be asking. Do we win Game 6 if Gordon and Brown's healthy? Do we win Game 6 if Gordon and Brown's healthy, but also all those other guys are playing in that game? And the answer is probably no. 26 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. What's new with Bo Nix? What's new with the ankle? Is he going to miss OTAs? Oh, no. He's not going to be able to throw in shorts to Jaylen Waddle. They'll never get their chemistry right. Oh, boy. You got a Pro Bowl wide receiver and apparently the savior of Broncos country, Bo Nix, but yet OTAs is really going to screw up the chemistry. If, heaven forbid, the ankle is a little bit worse, let's talk about it. We'll be right back.
One Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It is getting dramatic with the ankle, one man's ankle. How one man's ankle led a nation.
As the ankle twists.
Or as it gets cleaned up in a recent cleanup procedure on his surgically repaired right ankle, has the city and the state of Colorado just kind of losing their minds, Michael? Never have I seen it like this.
But what we really need to know is, what was his twin ankle doing?
What was his other ankle doing? I don't know. Are you starting up his Twitter, the Twitter account yet for that? OTAs and minicamp are still a month away, or a month or more away. Do we care if Bo does anything in OTAs? I don't want to hear, but then he won't have chemistry with Jaylen Waddle.
They can get a chemistry set together, get to Bo Nix's house, we and need play chemistry.
Okay, so if you're telling me, and this, I'm sorry, I don't like to call out peers in the industry, but we're freaking out that Bo's not going to be available for OTAs. Not about training camp, not about preseason, not about the regular season, that he's going to miss OTAs, and that's going to affect his chemistry with the rest of this team, including new addition Jaylen Waddle. If you're telling me that Bo Nix was the reason you didn't go to a Super Bowl and possibly even win a Super Bowl, same people that told me that are telling me that OTA, not having him there for OTAs is a major concern. You guys know, you're hearing this stuff. You don't just listen to the whole show. You listen to other radios, shows and other comments, and you read other crap. The same people that told you Bo was the man, and with him you win, without him you don't, are the same people telling you that if you don't have Bo Nix playing or practicing during OTAs, that is a pretty significant concern.
I mean, as you know, you are not allowed to have any contact with any of your teammates outside of OTAs. So he's not going to be able to talk to him or talk football in any way.
Can Bo throw a football?
Yes,
can
he
throw routes? Can he throw guys? I'm running 10 and out. I'm running posts. I'm running XY2 banana spider T. Can Bo Nix throw those?
Very easily.
That's what we're finding out, right? Can Jaylen Waddle run those? I'm sorry. I knew it a month ago when I said I'm tired of hearing about it. And then last week we started getting this news and I said, did I jump the gun by saying this wasn't a big deal? No. It was a cleanup procedure. Those that are telling you this was a secondary surgery, it's a cleanup procedure. It's actually very common. You have to do this. Now, if you just drafted him and he's your rookie, it's a little more concerning. He's not going to be there for OTAs. He's not going to learn from the coaches. He's not going to learn from leaders on this team. But he's pretty good, right? You guys are telling me that without him, you don't go to the. With him, you go to the Super Bowl, and with him, you have a puncher's chance to win the Super Bowl. Maybe more than a puncher's chance. I feel like Allen Iverson here. We're talking about OTAs, and you're worried he's not gonna. He's gonna lose a step. He's gonna lose ground with his receiving core, his tight ends, and he's not gonna develop something new with Jaylen Waddle. Now, in the Denver Post here this morning, or this was from yesterday, Peter Gabriel, there is still no clear understanding of what the recent procedure entailed for Nix, but sources indicate the cleanup work was going to have to happen at some point. If not now, then likely after the 2026 season. Nix's rehab from the initial fracture repair in January went well enough that Dr. Norman Waldrop III, Nix and the Broncos decided they had a window to get it done now. It will cost Nix most of the early stages of the offseason program. But in return, he enters the year without the prospect of another procedure hanging out there somewhere on the horizon. Thank you, Peter. Thank you. That's it. He was going to have this after the 2026 season. Might as well get it done now. And, hey, we have a quarterback that we believe in that's pretty good. We think he's pretty damn good. He's a franchise quarterback. Let's do it now and not mess with OTAs with him. Or have it hanging over his head for the entirety of next year's regular season. It's simple, guys. I say it. You hear it on the station. I try to bring the logic to the show. I don't panic unless I panic. I don't fake panic. I have enough to talk about, Mike. Lord knows I can talk to you about Star Trek for 3 hours if I needed to. I don't need to find topics to freak out about. The ones I freak out about are because I'm genuinely freaking out about them. And I'm telling you guys, if you do your research, if you read the stories from the guys that are covering this team literally every day and talking to the insiders literally every day, then there's nothing to worry about. Yes, Michael. What?
I'm not going to say my joke.
Was it going to shotgun the topic of discussion out of midair?
No, it would have won you and me both awards.
Then say it.
No, because I don't.
I want an award. I would like to win an award. An award.
I don't want to bring the attention.
You don't want to bring the attention off of Bo Nix's ankle.
Yes.
I get that.
Exactly.
His ankle deserves more.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get you. Are you worried about this at all? Is this
no.
a thing?
Look, years ago I would have been like, oh, no. But I think they're all professionals. Neither of them are rookies. Bo Nix has been in this offense for, this is his third year. It's not going to be that big of a deal. If he starts missing preseason games, I'm a little worried.
Yeah, I think, and we worry then. But everything we're told right now is that this procedure, this cleanup procedure that he had, was probably going to have to be done at the end of next season. So if I have to wait all season to get it done, and if it can help my chances of having a healthier ankle for next season, then why not risk OTAs? Risk it. He'll be there. They'll be cautious with him. I saw videos of him running the other day. I mean, is it going to get hurt again? Is that ankle going to get hurt again? Sure. Is that, to me, a concern? That I have other things about Bo right now, but is that a concern to me, whereas that could affect his future as the franchise quarterback for the Broncos? I don't think so.
Not right now. Let's see how many times he breaks it.
I mean, dude, go to Baltimore. Go to Baltimore and turn on their Baltimore Ravens talk. Those guys have cause for concern about a quarterback getting hurt. Those guys have cause for concern.
Because he's hurt all the time.
He's the most electrifying man in all of sports and entertainment, but he's hurt all the time. Bo's not there yet. And I'm still, if I'm a Baltimore fan, I'm still going, yeah, I'd rather take the chance. I'd rather take the chance that he could get hurt than not have him at all. So, no. Yeah, you want to talk about injury concerns. That's more on the Nuggets with Aaron Gordon. That's an injury concern. Age, 2 years in a row, that kind of thing. And it's not just the hammy, it's his calf and all that stuff. All pretty important things when it comes to jumping up in the air and slam dunking a basketball. Now, Bo is a mobile quarterback. Yeah, he needs to have good ankles going forward. But I get why he was snippy back then, a couple months ago. When Sean was talking about the ankle, and then suddenly all the media is talking about the ankle, and Bo basically comes out and says, get my ankle's name out of your mouth. Because he knows what's going to happen. Sean Payton says one thing, predisposed, and it has the entire Broncos media base. Oh, wow, what's that mean? He's not going to be the franchise quarterback? Well, they said he'd be ready for OTAs. Oh, my gosh, he had a cleanup procedure. He's not going to be ready for OTAs. They lied to us. Thank you to Parker Gabriel of the Denver Post for lining it out. Sources close to the situation said he was going to have to do this in 2026 at the end of the year or now. What would you rather him do? Would you rather him wait? Because I'm guessing it was important. Have him carry that on throughout the season, where if that could potentially help you to have the cleanup procedure, have it now as opposed to it didn't help you this upcoming season and maybe it affects you.
Yeah, have it now rather than having it right after the divisional round.
Yes. Get it done now. So, listen, until I really feel otherwise, I'm not saying I'm the know-it-all when it comes to Bo Nix's ankle, but based on the information that I've gathered versus the information that is very much everyone panic, he's out forever. Go with the information that's logical, folks. There's no reason to be concerned about Bo Nix. He's going to miss some OTAs, maybe. He'll still be able to throw a football to Jaylen Waddle, and it will be beautiful. 42 minutes after the hour.
All the touchdowns.
Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I like the Men in Black version. Hey, Greeley, could your budget use a boost right now? The Lift Up program is here to help, but don't wait. The application deadline is coming up fast on May 31st. The process is simple. Visit greeleyco.gov/liftup, and qualifying residents could receive up to $100 through the low-income food and tax rebate, plus $150 credit on your water utility bill. Real relief for groceries and monthly expenses right when you need it most. That's a City of Greeley's Lift Up program, greeleyco.gov/liftup. Yes, Michael, what?
The Men in Black version, isn't that good?
Oh, Will Smith was amazing.
That was before he was like all slapping people and doing weird stuff. That the first one was great. And then he made music videos about all the movies he was in. That was a time to be alive.
Yeah, and he, I mean, rap does this all the time. They like sample music from other genres.
And sometimes make it better. And in this case, they did.
No, they did.
They did.
You should listen to Daft Punk and all the songs that they sampled. It's kind of crazy.
I won't. I will not. I will not do that. 48 minutes after the hour. What did we learn, if anything, coming up next?
Four Saturdays, four code words, one big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman. Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what do we learn today on this fifth day of May? Happy Cinco de Mayo to you today, Michael. You going to go have a margarita? Probably not.
I had a burrito this morning.
Oh, there you go. For a great occasion. We learned that the Nuggets need a little fight in them, man. I don't know what that's going to look like. They need to do something. I know Minnesota beat San Antonio, and it does make a guy think, if they just would have had things right, they could have beat Minnesota. Maybe they could beat the Spurs. I don't think so. I think changes need to be made. Not like every player on the roster, but every phone call, every player on there except for Joker should be worth having a conversation with. Michael?
Well,
what'd you learn today?
I learned that there is a speakeasy at Coors Field,
yeah,
which is
that you'll never be able
not
to go
so easy to get into.
You and I will never be able to go to.
I mean, you have to pay $2,500, and then
it's only for 50
like
people.
First come, first serve, and 50 people are in.
Like, who are these people? The snobbiest of Rockies fans?
The Rock Illuminati.
Strikeouts. They bore me lately, Cecil. We'll just sit in the speakeasy.
Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.